Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
That right, the man's right here. Welcome to the Fighter's Voice, the original Fighter's Voice, with your host Don McGuire. On the line with me tonight, got the assassin, the man's right here. Let's bring him on. What's up to my homie Syed Awad? What's the house of popping, brother?
My man, what's up, Mr. McGuire, Mr. Don El Jefe McGuire? What's cracking?
Right, trying to rule the world, man, trying to create a dynasty.
There you go.
Hey, I'm just trying to follow in your footsteps, homie. You know, I was just in Queens, New York, and I got to tell you, a little bit different of a world, homie. I thought I had seen it all throughout my fight career, and, you know, I thought I had an understanding of life, but I'll tell you what, Queens humbled me, bro, because the land of the zombies, and I'm not meaning to offend anybody, but I got to admit, I was scared shitless. I wish I was a fighter.
Yeah, Queens, hey, man, they're definitely different out there in New York. I have family out there, and it's a whole different atmosphere, man. They dress different. They talk different. Everything's different about them, man, and that's just New Yorkers for you.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different, and it was fun. It was a crazy trip. My phone got hacked. It was just all kinds of lovely things. But, it's just been one thing after another. But, hey, I had a tremendous birthday in between there. And, my friend, you get to fight this Friday night. The day has finally come that you get to face Couture in the ring. You know, how does it feel just being a few days out, knowing that what you've been training so hard for is about to take place, brother?
Feels great, towards the end of the camp's always, draining on you, from everything. Everything just kind of drains on you, and this camp I feel really good. I'm excited it's finally, it's basically finally here. You know, we're going to be fighting before I know it, it's in two more days, or three more days, and like I said, we're going to be fighting before you know it, so I'm excited that I made it here with no, major injuries, and I'm able to compete.
Yeah. You know, well, I already know what we can expect from you, Syed. It's going to be crazy to see you step up in there. You know, this is a huge opportunity. You know, some may say, it can't do much for your record, but you know what? The proof is in the pudding. You've come out the last three strong. You're coming off a three-fight win streak. You're proving yourself time and time again to be a crowd pleaser. You know, hypothetically speaking, do you feel like, and I'm going to ask you, to the cows come home, bro, because I really think it's time for a title fight. I see other people getting title fights that, truly haven't earned them, in my opinion. But you as a fighter, do you feel after this fight that there that opportunity is there to get that strap?
I mean, looking at the division, I definitely think it's about that time for as long as I've been here. And, the guys that I've beat. But at the same time, whoever they say is the top guy that I need to beat, let me know who it is so I can fight him next. If not, then give me a title fight. Either way, I'm going to keep winning, and eventually I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I think you will. Now you did something different this camp that, for most fighters it would be tremendously difficult. You utilized a different training facility or a training camp away from Millennia this time. How hard was that transition for you, brother, or do you feel there was any hardships or any, aspects that, changed anything when you did make that transition?
There's always going to be, hardships when you go from one spot to another, when everyone's family, But, opportunity presented itself to me. And, if you're not, in order to really grow, you really have to make a change. When you're doing the same thing over and over, you could change slowly, But to make like a dramatic change, you really have to, you know, change. You know, you really have to change what you're doing. And I like the opportunity that presented itself. So, you know, I wanted to jump on it and try it out. And I'm glad I did. You know, no disrespect to Millennia. You know, I love all those guys there. The doors are still open. As far as I'm concerned, as far as they're concerned, I'm pretty sure the doors are still open for me. So it's not like I left on bad terms. And, you know, I just wanted to check out this camp and mix it up with a new set of guys. And, you know, with Sam Calavita, that was, you know, the main reason I went over there to get in, you know, get my conditioning really down and get a different outlook on strength and conditioning. And he definitely opened my eyes, man. He's made me train harder than I've ever trained before, you know, pushing past my limits almost every time I'm there with him. And he's a genius with what he does. And I'm excited to see how he performed this weekend.
Oh, most definitely. You know, a lot of times it's better to get that 360, you know, to get that whole view, because we do go to a gym and we stay there, and sometimes we get complacent to the way, you know, we utilize our training. And it's not in a derogatory manner, you know, meant that way towards anybody, you know, more ourselves than anybody, because we become, you know, just at a, you know. But then when you add this new training facility and new fighters, what do you feel as a warrior in the sport that, you know, you totally gained from this new training camp? Because you did walk into a room full of beasts, bro.
No, and you're absolutely right. And just you said it, you know, you hit it on the dot. You know, you say you become complacent when you're used to doing something over and over again with the same people. You know, you get comfortable. And then don't get me wrong, you know, I push myself every time in training. You know, I'm always trying to get better. I'm always trying to learn. And but at the end of the day, like you said, you do get comfortable, and that's kind of, you know, part of the reason. You know, I mean, that I felt like, you know, the change was good. You know, to the kind of I'm not gonna say it revamped my career, because I was already, you know, I'm on a pretty good winning streak, and you know, I'm still training, you know, hard. But it just gave me definitely a different outlook on everything, and a whole group, you know, new group of guys. Where, you know, you can't get lazy with, you know, new people, because everybody in there is trying to pick your head off, because, you know, they're the new guy, or they're the new guy, or, you know, they're all new guys. You know, it's a new gym, so everybody's trying to, you know, cement their spot in the gym on who they are. So you're not going to walk in there and just, you know, be the man. You're going to walk in there and you're going to have, you know, a hell of a fight every time you spar or train or roll or whatever you're going to do with the guys.
You know, I have to agree with you, but I'm going to kind of hit home with you, because we're pretty much family, and I'm just going to speak fact. You know, you added another mouth to the family, and as I told you on the last show, congratulations. But when you sit back as a man, did it make you realize that you have to be that much more determined now? You have to be that much more fierce? You have to demonstrate who you are that much more to feed and take care of your family, even at a higher level?
Yeah, and honestly, that I can kind of say that is part of the reason that kind of gave me the push to switch. You know, I've gotten plenty of opportunities to, you know, jump around gyms, you know, in the past, and I never, you know, I was always like, no, I'm good. Even if I thought the other gym might have been better, or maybe there was better guys there, but I was like, no, I'm good. You know, I like my coaches, I'm good here. But, you know, after I had my kid, or when I was about to have my kid, actually, at the time, I was about to have my kid, and I, you know, when an opportunity presented itself, I said, you know what, it's not about me anymore. You know, I have a daughter. Now I'm about to have a son, and I got to make a decision, you know, to better them. And if this, you know, this is going to help them, help me to help them, you know, then I better jump on and take a chance, because, you know, if I don't, then I'll never know what would have happened. So, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of gave me the extra push, the extra motivation to go out there and really test the waters and see how I like it, or see what it does for me. And so far, it's been good.
Yeah, it truly has. You know, Syed, I'm going to kind of ask a political aspect of you. I don't think I've ever done this on any show, and God, we've been doing shows for, I think, 3.5 years now. You're probably going to get mad at me. But I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's my show, and you know I will. You know, we both have an equal brother in this sport, and that being Professor Rami. You know, it was brought to my attention that at one of his, I think his last fight, or maybe the fight before that, that he was told moments to walking out that he couldn't walk out with a Palestinian flag, nor could he walk out with his walkout shirt that said the son of Palestine. Now, as a fighter, and we've discussed this before. As a fighter, when you sign on that dotted line, you're basically willing to die in that cage or that ring or whatever it may be. You're basically giving your life away. So do you think it's fair in that attribute that a promotion not allow a fighter to represent his country or who he is?
I think it's fucked up, no matter what, country he's from. I mean, we happen to be from the same country, so of course I'm going to side with him. But, it doesn't matter what country you're from. If you're walking in the ring, you should be allowed to, represent wherever you're coming from. Even if you want to represent your hometown, your city, wherever you're coming from, you should be allowed to, because, it's not about what you're representing. It's about the fight. And if somebody's willing to go in there and put their life on line, theoretically, they could die in the cage, and they should be allowed to go in there and wave their flag, because that could be the last time they're going to wave their flag. So for him, for what happened with him, I think it's extremely fucked up. And I think that organization should have got boycotted after that, because...
And it's hard because I walk a fine line in, as a journalist, but as inner workings of the sport, I kind of speak my mind a little bit too much. Is that one of the reasons that, Syed, that you don't walk out with it? Romney was going to walk out with the American flag next to the Palestinian flag. What do you feel in that aspect in representing your people through that atrocity?
I haven't walked out with the flag, but I do put the flag on my banner so I can have it. But why the fuck I don't have a flag? To be honest, if you look in the crowd every time I fight, the flag's out there. All my people are there. We're representing. I represent as much as I can. But you're right. I should have a flag as well. I'm not going to get too much into it. Maybe there's more behind it why I haven't. But I should, and I will.
It's unfair of me to ask you, live on the air that question, bro. I apologize. It's just, I know how much you truly celebrate your heritage and how much your heritage and your ancestry mean to you. And, that's how I am in life. That's what I guess being my age in this world is my hindrances, because I put too much thought into an analysis. Mm-hmm. But come this Friday, it's a tremendous night for you. A lot of people say this is an evenly matched fight. What are the thoughts in the mind of Syed Awad?
I'm glad people look at it that way. It should be evenly matched. Other people's eyes, I hate seeing mismatches. You see a guy out there that should not be in the ring with the other guy. I'm glad people are looking at it that way. But me personally, I don't think a lot of guys should be in there with me. Me being conditioned as I am right now, I think I'm opposed to a real threat to him. And I don't know, come Friday, we'll see what's going to happen. We'll see who belonged in the cage and who didn't.
Being that you're basically going against a guy that is, and I'm just going to speak it, he hasn't been the greatest of lately, but he does have a tremendous ground game in some aspects. You're pretty much, hey, let's stand and bang. How much emphasis have you put on the jiu-jitsu aspect or the wrestling aspect of your camp going into this fight Friday?
When I switched camps, it was before I even knew I was going to fight Ryan. I was actually supposed to fight someone else, and he got hurt. And I was already, I was already training, but, the camp that I jumped in is a striking wrestling camp. We have Daryl Christensen and Mark Munoz, who basically teaches wrestling every single day. And they teach strike, the Dwayne Bang style. They don't teach it, but TJ will teach it. And Dwayne's been down here every week for the past, 3-4 weeks, teaching his Muay Thai. So I happened to jump into a wrestling camp before I even knew I was going to fight Ryan, which, worked in my favor because, that's his style. But I do have a wrestling background, so I'm definitely not afraid, of his ground game. I'm not afraid of his wrestling. If you look at, guys I fought in the past, every time I fight wrestler, I usually beat the wrestler. So I think I have 90% win ratio against wrestlers / jiu-jitsu guys. It's usually when I sit there and bang with somebody, I end up being edged out or lose some stupid decision or break my hand and end up losing. But if you know, I like fighting wrestlers. I used to hate fighting them, but honestly, I like fighting them. I really do now because I know I have the edge. I know I can out-scramble them, and I'm real comfortable on the ground. I think I'm more comfortable on the ground than I actually am on my feet. I just like knocking people out.
Now, you're fighting in your own backyard. You know, it's got to be a tremendous feeling knowing that you're finally not going to fight on the East Coast.
It's like, it's going to be back over here.
Yeah, with you, they always have you in Connecticut or something. It's like, you know, you're finally back home. You're going to be in your backyard. You got a new training camp. You know, that's a lot just to swallow in one lump. What type of knowledge or advice has TJ or Dwayne given to you to help propel you forward in this aspect and prepare for Friday?
You know what? Every day there's something. You know what I mean? There's little things. I ask a lot of questions, you know, especially me being kind of the new guy, you know, it's, everything's different, you know what I mean? So I ask a lot of questions when I'm training. You know, I stop always in the middle of it. You know, Mark Nunez has been a big help, you know, in this training camp. He's really, I've been putting 3 days, 3 days a week I've been training with him, and he's really been, he's been noticing stuff I do bad, stuff I do good, and really, you know, capitalize on him and fix little issues that I had. And TJ, you know, he's a champ. He's a champ for a reason, and I see it. You know, the dude trains extremely hard. And he's always, everything he does, he makes sure he does it right. And if something's wrong, he'll stop, he'll correct it. And if somebody's doing it wrong around him, he'll stop and he'll correct them as well, even with me. You know, so it's good to have these guys around. It's good to, you know, to be in a group, in the gym with guys at that level who's world champs or been world champs or have fought or coached, you know. So it's definitely a good learning experience. And, you know, I feel like I'm a student all over again.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I kind of want to go back to a fight that I thought was tremendous, and I want to talk about the Zach Freeman fight. You know, you look at that fight, and okay, of course you came out on the better end of the bargain, but you look at that fight, how much more of a warrior are you in that aspect today because of what you've learned at the new training lab?
You know, I still obviously have the same killer instinct, but now, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit more confident. You know, I've always been confident in my stand-up, always been confident in the fights. I always come out extremely confident, but now I have my own confidence that I built while being there. And that alone is going to carry me, you know, into the deep waters when I need to be carried. You know, I mean, I've been there before, so I'm not too worried about it. But me knowing that I do have this extra gas tank now, and, you know, the hard hours I did put with strength and conditioning. I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. You know, I'm excited that at the time that we're in right now and the position I'm in and the fight that I have. So I'm just excited to go out there and put on a great show. You know, hopefully it's going to be a short night, so I don't have to worry about even going to the third round if I have to. But if I have to, you know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to win every round, and I'm going to show everybody, you know, where I'm at in the sport and where I'm at in this organization.
Well, most definitely, and you did that against J.J. Ambrose. I mean, you went the distance, and you proved that you can, and that was a tremendous night for you as well. You know, this Ryan Couture fight, you know, personally, if you ask me, but I'm biased. I'll admit I'm biased, you know, to my listeners, to the Syed Awad fans, I'm biased. You know, Syed's my brother. I'm going to pick him to win irregardless. You know, that's just how I roll. You know, I don't pick many fights, but... Well, even if we weren't family like we are, I gotta back a fighter who just looks at the other fighter and says, "Hey, man, are we here to hug or are we here to bang?" I mean, that right there is a tribute to who you are. At what point in your career did you realize that I'm not here to play games?
Oh, man, honestly, since my first fight, you know, I when I first got offered a fight, I went out there and I was a wrestler fighting the jiu-jitsu guy. And I think I had never even did mitt before my first fight. And I went out there and I just tried to box the dude the whole time, you know. And it was I didn't even know I could fight like that. I just knew, hey, this is a fight. It's not a wrestling match. It's not a jiu-jitsu match. It's a fight. So I think going in with that mentality that it's a fight has stuck with me, you know, since my first fight. And I think it just stuck with me just for who I am, you know. So just, you know, for the type of person I am, like, I'm no bullshit, you know what I mean? So we're going in here to fight. We're not going in here to wrestle. If I have to wrestle, I'll wrestle. If I have to, you know, use my jiu-jitsu, I'll use it. But I'm going here to fight. I'm going here to win.
You know, and yeah, you've proven that time and time again. You know, Syed, one thing that I've always wanted to ask you, and I really don't think I've ever really ever have, you know, I know I've asked you to look in the mirror and give me a reflection of yourself, but what does it mean for you to sit back now and look over your shoulder and realize that you've created a tremendous, I mean, I think you're sitting at, 22-9 in the sport. You've created a tremendous legacy for your family. Did you ever surmise that you would find yourself here at this point in time in your career?
What was the last thing you said? Sorry about that. I cut out. What was the last thing you said?
I said, did you ever surmise that you would find yourself at the position you are now at this time in your career?
You know what? I knew I'd end up getting here, but at the time I was a little jackass, so I wasn't taking it serious. So, you know, it took me a little bit longer to get to the position I'm in now. You know, I wish I would have taken the sport a little bit serious when I first started. But, you know, I've been doing it a long time. I had my first professional fight in 2006. And I just wish I took it a lot serious earlier, because then I'd be in a lot better position. But I'm happy where I'm at right now. And I'm happy, you know, I'm around the people I'm around. And because I know I'm on my way to put myself, you know, put the title in my hands pretty soon. And then let the story be written from there.
You know, it happened long before your family, so, you know, you grew more voracious after you got married and had your first child. But what instilled that intent that you walked into the cage with the first time? Who was the person in your life that gave you that passion, that motivation, or that drive to find that existence in you?
Honestly, I'll have to give it to my wife. You know, when I met her, I was still kind of dicking around, you know, right before I met her, I was still kind of dicking around, taking fights. I was doing okay. I had just got signed with Bellator at the time. And I remember when I got signed with Bellator, I was coming off of, like, the couch, literally. Like, I hit him up at the time, my manager. He said, I'd get you a fight. I was on the undercard, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll take it. I just started training. And the next thing you know, I was in the tournament. And then that's when I first started talking to my wife. Like, I mean, we were friends before that, long before that, but that's when we first started, like, kind of taking it serious. And then as, you know, the tournament went on, I was still dicking around, to be honest. Like, that first tournament, I was, you know, I prayed to God I didn't make it out of the first round. And, you know, luckily I didn't, you know, because if I would have, I would have probably lost both of those fights. And that's just, I'm being honest, you know what I mean? Because it's not that I wasn't taking it serious, but at the time, my fears wasn't serious, you know? And after that, when I really started settling down with my wife, and then, you know, stopped going out as much and started really, you know, taking training a little bit more serious. And it just got more serious and serious as we progressed. And then, you know, we got married and got even more serious. And, you know, just as my life got serious, my fighting got serious. And I guess I'll give it to her and give her a lot of credit for that.
Most definitely. You know, I listened to an interview and they were asking you questions about weight cut, weight issues and things of this. You know, how prevalent of an aspect is the weight cutting issue with you, Syed, going into this camp?
Yeah, I think it's a real serious thing. You know, like you're signing up to fight at a weight, but you have to make that weight. Like, I almost want to say the fight shouldn't happen if you don't make weight, but it's fucked up to the other guy that, you know, had so many people coming out to watch him that trained so hard. I mean, even if, like, let's say Dr. Red Ryan Store didn't make weight and is off the card, like, I would still want to fight him just because, like, I trained so hard. Like, even if Bellator told me, hey, we'll pay you your first, you don't have to fight, like, I would be like, no, dude, I want to fight. Like, I trained too hard not to fight, you know what I mean? I'm not going to waste the past 3 months of me grinding it out and sweating and really watching my diet and, you know, getting to where I'm at to fucking get paid for nothing. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody would like a payday for nothing, but, you know, I still want to fight. But that being said, you know, I think guys, you know, they need to make weight. I think they should really get penalized if they don't make weight. You know, my whole thing, I think what they should do is take 50% of their purse and then suspend them for 6 months. And guarantee people start making weight then. You know, I mean, there's no way nobody wants to get suspended for 6 months, or nobody wants to lose 50% of the purse. So if the commission stepped in and did some shit like that, I think it would, you know, really change it, you know?
Yeah, I do too. You know, and you know, a fight I can use in reference, and actually it benefited the fighter even though it was against a brother of mine, Zach Cummings versus Perez. You know, he had missed weight, Perez had missed weight 3-4 times and at 155, so they pushed him up to 170, and he had to face Zach Cummings, and he actually came out victorious over Zach Cummings. And, you know, I interviewed Zach, and I know Zach, and, you know, the guy just, it was an awkward style for him to face. You know, here you got this guy, you know, he must have been like 5'3". I mean, this guy's he wasn't very tall. You know, I don't know Perez's actual height, but, you know, he still carried over the strength. And in all actuality, I think it gave him more striking power because he was cutting to 155. Now he got the fight where he was comfortable at 170. And I think if, you know, most fighters realize where their true weight is, I think they would get a better aspect in who they are as a warrior. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I definitely would say that, I agree.
You know, well, Syed, the fight's this Friday. You know, what kind of statement would you like to make to your fans, to your family, your friends, to my listeners about what they can expect come Friday night for Bellator?
I think you're going to have to tune in to find out. But you know me, and I'm going to go in there just try to get the finish, man. I'm going to go in there and, you know, put on a show. I'm going to fight as hard as I know how to fight. And you know, God willing, if I'm not injured and I'm able to fight that way, you know, I'll come out to win and come out to everybody excited that I went out there and had a good fight. You know, as long as, even if Ryan tried to, you know, bust me for 3 rounds, you know, I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to stop the takedowns, and I'm still going to put on a good show.
Yeah, I, like I said, I can't really answer this fairly because I'm biased. I already know where my heart's going to go. But, you know, Syed, it's a true honor because, you know, you have been coming on my show for a long time, and we are friends away from the show and the sport, and it means a lot to me. You know, I wish you the best of luck this Friday night, my brother. You know, I know you're going to go out there and give the fans, give your family, you know, all of what you truly are and what you truly do. With that being said, I'm going to toss the mic to you, my friend. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program? It's assassin time, my friend.
My man, you know, thank you. Always, you know, big thank you to you for having me. You know, you're a brother to me, so it's awesome to get to talk to you and, you know, get to share all, you know, all the stuff with you. And you know, the only shout out, you know, I really want to give, you know, to the Training Lab for taking me in. You know, Sam Calavita really, you know, opened up his house to me, not just Jim, opened up his house to me and, you know, really brought me in and took me under his wing. And they're really good people. They've been really good to me. And so I want to, you know, big shout out to him and everybody at the gym, you know, TJ and all those guys. And last but not least, to Turf House. You know, he hooks me up with my CBD, and the guy really takes care of me. The dude loves the sport. He's a big fan of the sport. If you ever have any questions about CBD or even THC or whatever your questions are about, you know, you could DM him or go on his website, and he answers everything himself personally. And he's very knowledgeable about it. And I just want to give a big shout out to Turf House. And, of course, you one more time. So thank you so much, Don. I know you have your next listener about to come on. So always thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Hey, most definitely, man. I wish you the best of luck. I love you, bro. God bless you, and be safe this Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, Syed, the Assassin of Wad, thank you once again, my brother.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my boy right there. I'm sorry. I'm a little partial. We're going to take a mandatory commercial timeout with our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Zach Otto.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back. And let's go ahead and give Zach a call. This is actually the first time I've ever had him on my show. Let's just hope he answers. Zach, are you there? We must be having some type of difficulty. Hey, call me back. I'll go ahead and text you a number, or call me back at the number that called you, and hit one when you call back, or I'll try to call you back right now. Something is not right. Let's try one more time. You gotta love the internet.
Hello?
Hey, buddy. Welcome to the Fighter's Voice. I'm Don. How you doing, Zach?
Good, good. How you doing?
First and foremost, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Of course, every show, because we're live, there's going to have to be some kind of technical difficulty.
No problem.
Welcome to the program. You got a tremendous fight coming up with Sage Northcutt on June 14th. What does this opportunity mean to you moving forward in the sport, my friend?
It's a big opportunity. I was super pumped to get the call. It's a fighter that has a big following, but I still feel like he's pretty young in his career and has still some holes that he needs to touch up on, and I'll definitely be happy to try and exploit those on July 14th.
Almost definitely. You know, Sage was actually supposed to be on the show with us tonight. He's been on the show before. You know, you've never been on my show, so my show does a 360 view in all aspects, so it's not your normal Wikipedia or Tapology show, bro. But when I had him on before, you know, I walked away from that interview feeling he was a young man that was thrusted into the sport, you know, at a very young age, and he really hasn't found who he is. Do you think that's a certain situation that you could take to your advantage going into June 14th?
You know, I'm in the sport because I want to be, and as far as an advantage or anything like that, I don't see it as that. But I do know I've sacrificed a lot for this sport. I always did very well in school, and I'm sure I could be making a lot of money doing something else with my life. But this is what I want to do. You know, in my mid to late 20s. I lived at the gym for 4 years, so I've made the sacrifices. Nobody's pushed me into this sport. In fact, it was hard for me to tell close relatives and friends, like, this is what I want to do instead of pursue the things that I was going for in school, and didn't always get the most support along the way. So this is definitely, I feel like, what I was meant to do, and yeah, this young kid isn't going to take this one from me. So,
you know, I feel you there. You know, I understand you on more than one aspect. There, I went to school to become an engineer, and I got my master's in engineering science, and
wow.
I ended up a fight photographer. So, you know,
yeah.
It just happened to
go.
Be my true calling, man. It was like,
yeah.
Well,
and some people are like, "What are you doing? Like, why aren't you?" You know, and it doesn't make sense to them because they're just looking at maybe the money side of things or the job security. But if you like waking up and doing what you do every day, then you never really work a day in your life.
You know, and that's so true. And here I am 22, almost 23 years later, and I've been doing radio for 14 years. So it's been a crazy career, but that's why we did the show, was to give back to the sport that put a roof over my head and food in my stomach. You know, there's a lot of months that were hardcore. You know, I kind of want to take you back a fight, and then we'll take a different direction after that, if you don't mind. But I want to take you back to the Mike Pyle fight. To me, that was a tremendous fight for you. What was your greatest takeaway? Because, I mean, you've had plenty of other significant wars, but to me, that fight was a fight that you could take away something. What would that be?
Just give me the confidence that I belong here and that I can finish people at this level. And, you know, when you first get in, it's usually a short notice type situation. And I'm fighting all guys with either a lot of UFC experience or winning records in the UFC and just trying to get these wins. And I've always been that type of person that gains confidence as I gain experience. So now with 5 fights under me, I got almost nearly an hour inside the UFC octagon. I feel very comfortable, and now I'm fighting somebody with less experience, younger than me, hasn't, I feel in my mind, you know, sacrificed the way I have to get here. So I'm just using that all as a mental edge for me in this fight.
Yeah, you truly can, because it's a tremendous stepping stone, and you win, hypothetically speaking, if you win, you know, it could propel you way into the game, you know, and that's where you want to be and ultimately will be anyhow. But, you know, like I told you, our show's a little bit different. We go side by side, you know, but when you look at life, you know, there's people only understand the social media aspect of you. They only understand what they see on TV. You know, what was life like for you, Zach, growing up? What were your surroundings? And you say that you kind of got pushed into this or that aspect of it, but what was it like for you in the early days?
Growing up, I just came from a pretty simple upbringing, you know, blue-collar type family. Grew up in the city of Milwaukee. My dad was on the fire department. Real just hard worker type family, blue-collar type upbringing. So I did play a lot of different sports growing up, and I tended to excel at sports and, you know, thought being a professional athlete could be in my future. Also excelled at school and found interest in school. So I had a lot of different routes that I could have went growing up. I guess sports and academics was, I thought, like kind of my way to raise the bar and for myself and kind of like get to that next socioeconomic level. Coming from, you know, where I grew up and then where I wanted to end up was two different places.
Yeah. You know, and it's weird because in life, like I said, we both kind of walked that path. You know, I could have been an engineer, but I would still be broke because I'd still have to go to school. Because one thing people don't realize is technology has changed so much that if you don't constantly go to school as an engineer, then you kind of find yourself out of a job. You know, and fighting is a totally different aspect. It's always going to be here. It's just now in its infancy. It's growing in stature. You know, when you finally got that first opportunity in the UFC octagon, what did it truly mean to you, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
It really helped fulfill a dream, you know, a dream that I wanted to be known and reach that level to where I'm one of the best people in the world at hand-to-hand combat, you know, and getting to the UFC kind of helps solidify that. It was, like I said before, you know, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work. I knew I was going to be here one day, but sometimes, you know, through the losses and the setbacks and the injuries and stuff, it's kind of, in hindsight, you know, it's sometimes hard. But, you know, I stayed the course and I knew I was going to be here one day. But at the same time, it was also just kind of scratching the surface for my potential. So I didn't want to just get here and not be able to win fights and perform, but I want to get here and excel. So it was a relief at kind of, but it was also just the start of a whole other new journey.
Yeah, that's what kind of makes us this outing against Northcutt that much more sweet, because, you know, here you've put in all this hard work, you've got all this determination, and now here's this huge opportunity. You know, you say that the kid's going to be put to work that night. Who in the aspect of your training would you say has been most beneficial for you leading up to June 14th?
Really, I mean, it's been kind of the whole entire road that I've went has been kind of the most beneficial. Like I said before, I gain confidence when I gain experience, and all the little lumps along the road, all the different coaches that we've brought into the gym over the years. We started out very simple, added a really good striking coach, added a really good wrestling coach. Training partners have developed. New training partners have moved to our gym. It just all kind of seems like everything is coming together at the right moment right now, and really put me in a position that I think I can really, really do well in this next fight.
I think so, too. You know, sometimes when we look at the sport, you know, it's like you're a veteran, so you've been around a while, but, you know, I've had some of these younger fighters on here, and, you know, for them to be able to step in the sport and face, you know, people that they used to watch on TV and emulate, and now that, you know, their icons are now their opponents. How does it feel for you in that aspect to have some of the people that you used to watch and, you know, look up to now become your opponents?
Yeah, I've had it a couple times, maybe even more than a couple, to where I'm as a just kind of taking my first jiu-jitsu classes, and there's a UFC event on TV, and I'm watching it and taking notice of some fighters that are really good, and then I've gotten to fight those guys and beat those guys. So it's a really cool experience when you go through it. It's kind of even surreal a little bit afterwards, you know, like my last opponent, Mike Pyle, probably out of all the people I fought was the guy that I looked up to the most out of all my opponents before I had gotten a chance to fight him. And, you know, now he's liking my Instagram photos and stuff. And I, you know, I find it weird that he's doing that because that's just crazy to me. But yet, you know, I've fought this guy and I've beat this guy. So, it's a cool experience. And definitely one that I guess you don't really get used to.
I couldn't see getting used to it, but, you know, it's kind of cool that he is liking your stuff. It's just a sign of respect, you know, and I think that's a lot of aspects of the sport that have truly been lost, you know. And I bring it up on my show quite a bit because it irks me. You know, I was just at Bellator 199 in San Jose, and 50 Cent was there. And, you know, I was never a big fan of Conor McGregor coming over. I'm just an old school aspect of the sport. And, you know, really people can't blame me because when we got into it, it was just really at its infancy. But, you know, how do you feel, you know, with these transitional fighters coming over into the sport, and do you feel it's hindering the sport in any aspect?
Well, it's at least getting some eyes on the sport, which is important because whether you like it or not, we are an entertainment business as much as we're trying to find out who the best fighter in the world is. So it helps for marketing and all that kind of stuff, promoting the next fights. Not necessarily my style, but, you know, some of these guys, if they just naturally come across abrasive and they've got a little bit of wit to them and they're quick on their feet with the way they talk, then you know, all the power to them. But I think too many people are starting to do it now, and it's starting to give people kind of a bitter taste in their mouth about the sport. And some people are going down that route because others had success with it, but really it's not in their personality. And I don't want everybody to start trying to do this to make money when it really doesn't fit a lot of people.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up, because at first a fighter ridiculed me, and he said, you know, bro, you know, it's a great thing for the sport just like you. And I said, okay, let's say you're the co-main on a fight, and you get bumped because of a transitional fighter. You know, he said, well, I'd be cool with that. I said, okay, well, let's say you get bumped 2-3 fights in a row, and your little girl looks up at you and says, Daddy, we still going to Disneyland this weekend, and you can't take her because you don't have the money to. I said, how would you be with it then? And he really didn't know how to answer that question. And it's just because I've been in the sport so long, you know, I do hold on to the traditionalist side of it. You know, earlier you mentioned jiu-jitsu. You know, how much of the mat, you know, is in there, Zach? How much of the mat is in the creation of who you are as a warrior?
I feel like I've always kind of been this way. Anybody that finds out about what I do now, nobody's really surprised by it. I've always had that kind of get after it, work hard mentality, grindy grit kind of attitude about the way I played football, or even when I was a kid playing with the older kids in the neighborhood. You know, I'd come home like the most dirty and bloodied out of everybody. So the mentality was always there, but as far as learning martial arts has actually kind of brought me down a level, and it made me less emotional, and kind of helped not only give me, of course, the skills to fight, but find like that happy medium and actually bring me down a notch.
Yeah, you know, what's funny, someone in my green room just asked me to ask you a question, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you. They want to know how you came about the nickname The Barbarian.
All right, so we had an assistant instructor at the gym who would, I walked in and I had come from playing college football, and I was a lot bigger than I am now, lifting heavy, you know, a football build, which is quite a bit different than MMA. And I had a wrestling background, and like I said, that kind of grit and stuff that I practiced with, he'd call me the Aryan Barbarian because I got blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'd just stocky and come after people. And that would kind of stick around the gym and stuff, but obviously a lot of people would kind of take offense to the beginning part of it, even though it didn't mean anything in that regard. It was just because I'm of German descent. So we just dropped the beginning to stay away from anybody that might take offense to it, and just the Barbarian kind of stuck.
Yeah, you know, this day of keyboard warriors kind of cracks me up, you know, bro. It's they take something and they run with it, you know. And sometimes it's not a fair assessment of an individual, you know. Zach, you know, Sage is pretty much a kickboxer. You know, he has a kickboxing. He's a, you know, well defined in the kickboxing, you know, world. How do you feel that's going to come into play come June 14th? You know, you're a striker. You've got a tremendous ground game. Have you had to add any attribution to your camp to prepare for this aspect?
Yeah, I have been sparring with some different training partners than I normally do. You know, with his karate background, he's can be a little bit more bladed and use more karate techniques than maybe other people, which either have like a straight boxing or straight Muay Thai foundation. You know, he did wrestle and have some success and stuff with that in high school. So with the wrestling, with the karate, he's real explosive, very, very quick in and out. But with that, also, you tend to kind of land like one strike and then get out, or go for one takedown attempt and then that's it. There's no like next thing after or combinations. So just looking to capitalize on those moments where he tries to close distance with strikes or a takedown, and just keep the chaining together, you know, make this an MMA fight. I don't want to kickbox with them. I don't want to wrestle with them. I want to have an MMA fight with them. I want to be as fluid as I can between all the transitions of all the different disciplines, and take advantage of those moments that he gives me.
Most definitely. You remind me a lot of Syed Awad. You know, I look back at his fight. Syed was just on before you. And he looked back to his fight with Brennan Ward, and they had each other up against the cage. He said, "Are we here to hug each other? We're going to bang it out." You know, so they decided to bang it out, man. And you know, that's what I love about the sport, and that's what I see in you, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show. You know, and I followed your career a little bit before I asked you on the show, and, you know, you're tremendous. You're actually a hell of an athlete, you know, and you're humble about it. And that's what even made me more, you know, I guess gave me the intuitive idea to have you on. But, you know, if you were to have to write down on a piece of paper a statement, you know, for to be put in a time capsule, let's say, for future generations to know who you are, Zach, and what you're about, what would that statement be?
What I'm about as a fighter or as a person?
Either or, bro. I mean, it's your final paraphrase to be put in a time capsule to let the future generations to know who you were.
Sometimes you don't have to be the loudest person in the room for people to notice you. Not saying that I'm too quiet or reserved about the way I go about my business, but people usually tend to take notice of my actions more than my words. I've always been the person, I'm not gonna boast or tell you about what I'm about to do. I'm gonna do it first, and then I can boast about it afterwards.
I like that. That's kind of how I am in life. I actually don't even take credit sometimes for some of the things that I do, and I think there's a lot of that in you. Who in your life instilled, you know, this type of value? Because you're a very articulated young man. You're very smart, and you know, you're, like you said, you'll brag about it after the fact, but before the fact, you're just a true gentleman of the sport. Who put this intent in you, and what did it mean to you to go that way, that aspect of your life?
Yeah, a lot of it was just my upbringing through my parents. I'm still very close with my parents, even though they didn't work out together. They both co-parented and raised me to work really hard, to respect people. And the biggest thing I think that they raised me with was, even though I come from very humble upbringing, was that the world is a lot bigger than, you know, the city of Milwaukee, and that I could really do whatever I set my mind to. So as soon as you start thinking like a really big picture about things, you know, the world just kind of opens up and you start dreaming big. And I think too many times people, they grow up just small-minded and thinking small, and then they end up being like everybody else. So even though they didn't maybe have that upbringing themselves, and they always instilled that in me, that I could really do whatever I wanted to do. And that self-belief has really changed my life.
Well, you can tell it truly has. You know, I kind of want to take a step back, and I hope you don't mind, but I think you'll see the relevance after the end of the question. You know, in your amateur career, you were undefeated, and you step up as a pro, and you get taught your first lesson. What did you take away from that night that allowed you to have such a tremendous career that you did after that? Obviously, you went back and you had deep thoughts. What were those thoughts, Zach?
Well, actually, two of my amateur fights are not on my record, and I did lose my very first amateur fight. So I had barely been training, and I got tossed in against a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu who ran his own kickboxing gym. So a pretty experienced guy, and I had just started training, and we had a 3-round war out in the middle of summer outside in the sun. It was completely brutal. I had no idea how to pace myself. I got dropped with a shot, got back up, took him down. It was back and forth. It was absolutely crazy. I lost a 29-28, but I had to dig deeper in that fight than like I've ever dug in my life. And a lot of people would be like, man, screw this. Like, but it made me want to come back to the gym right away on Monday with black and blue eyes. And I knew that this was something I wanted to do and something I wanted to get better at, and something that with some more training I could get really good at. So, yeah, from there I finished out the rest of my amateur career, winning my next 6 fights, turned pro, and went through some adversity in my first pro fight. Here I could take down anybody at will and whenever I wanted on the amateur level or in the gym. And then in my first pro fight, first round, I cannot take this guy down to save my life. And my kickboxing was very in its beginning stages at that point, and just kind of got outpointed on the feet and couldn't take him down. And it was a very frustrating fight. And I was getting emotionally frustrated in there. I was losing confidence as the fight went. So that was a big learning, learning fight for me. I took some time before I had my next pro fight and continued to evolve. That fighter kept going on and winning fights, so it gave me the confidence that, you know, if I stick to this, you know, I can turn my career around. But it was a huge hole to dig out of. You know, starting out 0-1 from the very beginning, it wasn't like, oh, I just want to have some pro fights. It wasn't like that. From the very beginning, it was, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to get to the UFC, and I'm going to excel once I get there. So all of a sudden, I start out 0-1, and family and friends are wondering, are you sure you still want to do this? Or, like, you're an 0-1 pro, and here you're talking about, like, UFC aspirations. Like, people are laughing at me, like, yeah, right, you're not going to make it, you know? But I knew I would, 100%, like, 100% new. So just kept grinding, getting better. Finally, when I was ready, I got some more fights going. And in 2013, I won 6 fights in a row, 6 finishes, and started to put myself, you know, back in relevance. And then I ended up going on a 13-2 streak with 12 finishes to get signed by the UFC.
And that's what leads us to my next question. How does it feel now to fight basically, which is the poster boy of the UFC? We already know what it will do for you as a stepping stone, but to get this opportunity against one of the poster boys for the UFC, one of their so-claimed, self-proclaimed prodigies, what would it mean for you to come out victorious, brother?
I have, obviously, UFC goals set for myself. I have financial goals for myself to where, you know, all this sacrifice, I have like a minimum in my head that I absolutely need to reach in order to feel like all this sacrifice and going this route was worth it. And this is a huge opportunity for me to get to that point. Yeah, I absolutely need this win. My job may not depend on it as much as like the Mike Pyle fight, but to me, there's just a lot of pressure that I put on myself because I feel like it's a very winnable fight, a fight that gives me a huge opportunity to create new fans and really cement myself in the division. And man, there's just no way in my head that I feel like I can lose this fight. Like, I just refuse to lose this fight.
Yeah, I don't see it happening that way. I've seen too much determination, you know, in the footage that I've watched and the career, part of your career that I've been looking into. You know, I think the time is now. You know, brother, if you had to make a statement to the people about what they can expect, you know, come UFC Fight Night 133, July 14th, what would that statement be, my friend?
Well, in my last fight, I had fought an older Mike Pyle, so we were coming out to break the body. But in this fight, we're coming out to break the mind. So wherever the fight goes, whether it's on the feet, grappling exchanges, I'm going to put a relentless pressure on him and so much power and tenacity that he just won't be able to hang with it. And before I know it, I'd say within 2 rounds, he'll be giving me his way out that he wants. And I'm going to take it. So a finish is coming for sure.
Most definitely. You know, my friend, it was truly an honor to have you on the show tonight. I look forward to having you back on, hopefully after your fight, if you got an opportunity to, you know, or time to come back on. But, you know, it truly was an honor. Like I said, I've watched your career. I felt it was time to bring you on the show. You're making big, you know, big waves in the sport now. And this is a tremendous opportunity for you. And I wish you the best of luck. At this point, Tom, I'm going to hand you the microphone. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else that you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I do want to throw some shout-outs. MedTerra CBD oil and cream I've been using a lot really helped me. If you go on their website at Medterra CBD, you can put in my promo code for a 10% discount. Just put in Otto10. And then also Combat Corner training gear. So that's where I've always gotten all my training gear, fight apparel, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, big thank you to those sponsors. And, of course, my gym, Pura Vida BJJ and MMA here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Big up-and-coming gym. I think the world's going to take notice of us real soon here. We got a lot of big fights coming up. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you very much for having me on the show, and I'd love to come back anytime.
Oh, I appreciate it. Where can my listeners and your fans find you on social media before I let you go, brother?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at TheBarbarianMMA, and then I'm on Instagram and Facebook just under my name, Zach Otto.
Well, Zach, it truly was an honor and a privilege. I wish you the best of luck come June 14th. I truly think it's going to be a night for you. You know, you sound like you're determined, and we'll get you back on the show after that. Thank you so much for humbling my listeners and your fans. It's truly been a tremendous interview. Thanks, brother.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Otto, coming off a tremendous win against Mike Pell at UFC 222. Getting ready to face Super Sage Northcutt at UFC Fight Night 133, July 14th. Determined young man, I truly think he's going to do it. We're going to jump to the Spaniard. This is, I'm going to give him crap tonight. This is my boy, but he's making a name for himself. We're talking about a 7-time world champion, 4-time division champion, King of the Cage. And now he's tearing up the Bellator scene. Let's talk about his next fight.
Hello?
Hey, welcome to the Fighter's Voice, my brother. How you doing?
Good. What's going on, Don?
Oh, I just got through interviewing Zach Otto, getting ready to fight Sage Northcutt at UFC Fight Night 133, July 14th. I don't know why. I think I said June 14th on the show. I probably sound like an idiot.
They're probably like, yo, bro, that's a year from now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's going to fight in a year. 1 year from now, he's going to be facing, July 14th.
How do you plan this fight on going in a year from now? Well, I think we'll be both different fighters, but I plan it's going to be in my favor.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's been a week like that, you know. I go to New York. I didn't really like it there. My phone gets hacked. I get kicked off my flight, returning flight. I have to sit in the airport for 15 hours to come back home to find out that my phone was truly hacked. And life has been glorious ever since. I had one of your boys and teammates on tonight, first Syed Awad. And,
he's a man. Fast him.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the training lab. You know, we kind of talk about it a lot of bit. You know, he transitioned over for this fight camp. What does it mean for you to have, you know, this type of atmosphere in the training lab and now see some of the top quality fighters in the world clinging to the training lab in that aspect?
Man, it's awesome. At first, it all started off as a thought, you know, like, okay, if we could get this gym going, it's going to be awesome, you know, and just like anything, like, oh, I got this idea. If it goes off, it's going to be awesome. Just wait. And then when you start to see it happen and guys you've been preparing with from the beginning start to come and start making the gym its home base, it really starts to pay dividends. And, you know, just you're just at home. You know, you feel welcome. You're loved by everyone. And, you know, everyone got your back. You know, there's no egos there. And, you know, everyone's training to prepare each other for a fight and prepare each other for life. So, you know, the thought that came into a reality is truly a blessing. Thanks to the people that got it ready at Steve Martin, Sam Calavita, and, you know, everyone else that's been helping out with Mark and a lot of people from Quality Environmental that's been, you know, putting the gym together. All those people are making it, you know, a real home for us fighters to be able to train there in a world-class facility.
Oh yeah, it truly is a world class facility. I mean, I've seen the videos come out of there. It's beautiful, man. I mean, and you know, I've been in almost every gym in this country, and I'm feeling kind of jealous. But I know you'll just go back on me and say, "Well, you were here. You could have came down," and you'd be right.
You had some stuff come up. No, you had some stuff come up. So you know, family first for sure. And there's always times later on to come by and check it out. We're not going nowhere, you know.
No, I'm not. First and foremost, you know, I'm a man of transparency. I'm a man of integrity, and I'll do it live on the show because that's just the way I roll. I mean, this is who I am. First and foremost, I want to apologize to you on the issue with the fighter's voice. It had nothing to do with you. I found out directly where it came from today. So I apologize to you as one brother to another for coming at you even, you know, in any aspect on that, because I'm sure you would have included me to begin with, but I found the route that it came from, and I owe you an apology. So, you know, there you got your first apology from me live on the air, bro.
Oh, you never have to apologize, you know. So it goes without saying, you know. That's how we are. So no worries, and you know, definitely, you know, but you know, it's never needed.
You know,
everything with us is always water under the bridge, you know.
Yeah, it has to be, and that's one thing I love about life. And I did send you my address, so I do expect my shirt. So,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, how did your Bellator day go? You know, you kind of spent a little bit of a day getting photo shoot, getting, you know, pretty boyed up. How much of those aspects perplex fight week for you as a warrior?
It starts making it a reality, you know. It starts, you know, I got to... You know, the beginning of the day was a little rough because I wake up and, you know, I wake up like especially every Tuesday because it's a spar day. And so it's an exciting day for us. And, you know, I go to the gym. I start warming up with everyone. I start, you know, get the first couple like just drills in because Dwayne's in town. And, you know, you start getting fired up. And then Dwayne tells you, "Hey, Ninja, you're off the mat. You're not sparring." I'm like, "Oh, man, I want to spar." But, you know, it's all leading up to this week. And then after hitting mitts with Dwayne and then going out there to Bellator and doing the photo shoot and the check-in and over at Pechanga, you know, it starts just sitting in like, oh, shit, it's fight week. Like, this is it, baby. It's time to go.
Yeah, it is go time. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I mean, this may sound weird, but... You know, here you are, 7-time world champ, 4-time division champ, and king of the cage. You step up to Bellator. It's kind of like you have to rebuild who the Spaniard is, in essence, as far as now your name is out there on a much larger scale. Now your name is out there on a world promotion. Did you find any kind of hindrance in that aspect as far as having to rediscover or let the fans know who the Spaniard is?
No, you know, because Joe Stevenson's done a great job on letting me be who I am, you know, and never changing for anyone, you know, and that's just something my dad told me and a coach that I had growing up wrestling, John Azevedo, always preached to me when I was younger. You know, people are gonna love you for who you are, so just be you, you know. So, you know, and Bellator, the promotion, the guys in charge, from Scott Coker all the way down to Rich Chow and, you know, Mike Kogan and all these guys, just, you know, they love who I am. They love what I bring to the table. They know I'm going to be a superstar. And that's just the driving force behind it, you know, the social media team there, Monica and everyone that works with the guys in the social media team do an awesome job reaching out to me and just making sure my face is out there, you know. And so it's something that I don't have to reevaluate and, like, re-strategize, like, okay, how am I going to go about this? Because it's a family there, you know, and these guys are taking care of me as one of their own because they want me to succeed. They want to see what they want me to do, accomplish the goals that I'm setting out to do, you know?
Most definitely. You know, Juan, I'm going to ask you a hard question because we're family, and I can ask you this question. You know, your last outing in Bellator, you faced somebody who you know in life. You face somebody who was just days coming off the death of their mother, and it was kind of a hard fight for you. You wanted to let a warrior go out in fashion. How much of the Spaniard truly was held back that night, and how much more of the Spaniard is Bellator Nation going to get to see this next outing against Couture?
Yeah, it's actually with Peralta.
Peralta, but, I'm got Syed on the head.
Yeah, you're all good. With the Armadillo, it was tough. It was a lot of, I'm not taking anything away from him because he's a warrior and he took a lot out of me, every fight when you get in the mix like that, it's always the recovery that's the longest. But, he was a stud and he brought out a lot of me. And then, so I had to reserve power. I had to reserve a lot of stuff. But, that was because of his pace and who he was as a fighter, But definitely this fight, there's going to be no restraints, There's going to be no limits to what's about to be the performance that's about to be put out, because where I was at from the Armadillo fight to the problem Peralta, it's going to be night and day difference, because, Robbie really does bring a lot of different atmospheres to this fight that are going to be challenging in my game and challenging in the strategy we're bringing out right now, because, Robbie could end it on his feet. He could end it off his back. He could catch me in something. So, it definitely, his name's the problem for a reason, so I got to find ways out of these problems. And, it's going to take all of me to do it.
Most definitely. And I apologize because I did interview Syed, and Syed is fighting Couture.
I figured.
So, that's what I get when I get two training lab guys on in one night, But you guys are taking over the scene, the high desert down there. You really got a lot to lose in this fight, bro. I mean, you're sitting at 18-1. You're on a 14-fight win streak. What do you have to look into in the mirror and see in Juan Archuleta to realize that this is probably one of the biggest fights of your career thus far?
Yeah, so it's just not chasing a win or loss, I've made that mistake in my career before, and when I let go of the win and loss and stopped worrying about it, everything started falling into place. I'm chasing the performance, and that's something Cub told me, you never want to chase a win or a loss. You never want to go out there and say, I need this win. I got to have this win in order for it to boost my career, MMA fans and just MMA in general is, I forget about yesterday and what's happening tomorrow, people don't care about win or losses anymore. Of course, they're nice to get, but they care about the performance. Oh, man, did you see that guy's last fight? Like, he set records, they definitely won fight of the year, or they won fight of the month, or, just that's what I'm chasing, I'm not chasing win or loss. I'm chasing to go out there and be able to be a complete mixed martial artist and put on a performance.
Yeah, I think you will. And you know what? What you said was so, so spot on, bro, because I look at the Mike Breeden-Clay fight in LFA that I was at a couple weeks ago, and I got to tell you, this kid Breeden, I shot from early in his career, and I knew he was a warrior, but, bro, this fight was crazy. The first round, Clay had he was backpacking him and just nailing him, with left hooks to the point he split his eye open. And they go into the second round, and, Breeden just takes it to him. And the third round, there was no backup in any one of these fighters. And, my favorite fight of the year before that was Chris Harris versus Julian Marquez at Bellator 150. And I held that fight very near there. But now I got a new favorite, bro. I got to admit, I got a new favorite. So
couple. It's all right. You can have as many favorites as you want. That's the best thing about sports. You could, especially MMA, because it's an individual sport. You can have as many favorites as you want, not be called a bandwagoner, because it's such an individual sport. You're like, oh, this is my favorite fighter. This is my favorite fighter. All these guys. People don't call you, oh, you're just a bandwagon, because, it's the truth. If, you have so many great guys out there and so many great athletes that put on performances, and they all become your favorite to watch,
Yeah, and I understand that, but what was tremendous about this fight, Mike Breeden lost, But I interviewed Emmanuel Brooks, who was Clay's manager or responsible for him, And he said, bro, I got to tell you what, if they would have said Mike Breeden, you know, won that fight, I wouldn't have had a word to complain about. And that's the kind of wars that you bring to the sport. You know, I know you're a wrestler, and I know you've got this great background, and I know you bring a lot from King of the Cage, but what has you on a consistent basis bringing that type of fight to the sport time and time again?
Being a professional in the sport, you know, just training every day, you know, just and it's because I love it, you know. I love what I do. I want to be there for my teammates. I want to see them win championships as well as my own. And so it makes me want to go to the gym every day, you know. And you know, it's not focused on a certain opponent. It's not focused on this and that. It's focusing on, you know, something Joe Stevenson told me from the first day. No one beats Juan Archuleta except you, you know. And Dwayne Ludwig starting to preach the same thing to me, like, you know, no one beats you but you, you know. We're not focused on what everyone else is doing. We're focused on what we can control and what we're doing, right, Ninja? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, then let's keep working, you know, let's keep getting better, and
Are you still there, bro?
Yeah, you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you now. Okay. You know, I'm going to kind of ask you a question like I asked Syed earlier. You know, he already, you know, he was this young guy, he goes in the sport and he gets a family, and he has to fight, you know, that much harder to take care of his family. Now he just recently had a new arrival in his family. And I asked him, what was the relevance, you know, did he feel there was a relevance in, you know, and how he conducted himself now, because he has a bigger family to feed, and how much more relevant it was to him to be able to move forward in the sport because now his family is bigger. You've already got an established family. How much of the mentality of Juan Archuleta in that aspect is in the creation of who you are as a warrior, knowing that you have a family to feed?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, the driving force behind it. You know, I want my kids to grow up and know that, you know, and when I bring them to the gym and they watch me train, they know I'm giving it my all. You know, my oldest now, he's always saying, like, on rest, when I'm resting, he's like, Dad, don't you have to go train? Because if not, you're going to lose. And I'm just like, no, it's a rest day. It's all right. He's like, no, you got to go train. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm taking you to go train. And he's like, no, I'm not training to win anything. You have a fight coming up. But no, it's definitely a driving force. You know, it's the reason why I wanted to do this sport, and the reason why I became a professional fighter is because I want to be there for my kids, one, and then I want them to see personally what hard work brings to the table. You know, as long as you're reaching out for your goals and you're putting 100% focus into them and not just being a fighter to be cool or to go to be on the drinking scene or to go in clubs and stuff, you know, I carry myself professionally, you know, just like my dad did when I was young, my kid's age. You know, I always see my dad hustling and working nonstop, sun up to sundown, and going to work with them. And so, you know, that's the type of relationship I want to have with my kids, knowing that daddy works hard.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that's always said, you know, me in great admiration of you is, you know, I think in society, I don't think enough people instill this in their kids, that when you start something, you see it through. You see it from start to finish, and that's truly what you're inspiring in your kids. You know, Juan, you're creating a legacy. You've created a legacy in King of the Cage. Now you take that step over to Bellator. You know, Peralta isn't a joke. It's a hell of a fight in front of you. Do you take this fight as every other fight, or do you look at this fight as an opportunity for you to move that much further ahead, or is it just another day at the office for you?
Yeah, for me, it's the biggest. I see it as the biggest fight of my career. You know, it definitely is. Every fight's the biggest fight of your career, and it's another chance to make a name for yourself. You know, so it's definitely going to be a hard-fought battle that I have to win. You know, like I said, I don't go for it, but on paper, it is what I. It is the next step in my career to solidify who I am with a UFC vet like Robbie Peralta.
Yes. Now, you haven't been in the sport, well, you've been in wrestling and all this aspect, but the truest form has been, what, the last 3.5 years. You know, you look at that, so you're considered a new era fighter in a lot of those older aspects of the sport. You know, you bring wrestling, you bring a lot of, you know, you bring striking, you bring a lot of ability to the cage. What aspects has Juan Archuleta added, you know, to that arsenal that is going to, you know, get him through this night?
You know, just my training partners. You know, I'm always on top of my strength and conditioning. But even working with Dwayne Ludwig, you know, spending a lot of time with him and him just expanding my knowledge in the stand-up game, you know, and actually just everything, you know, Joe Stevenson's game planning, working with Dwayne Ludwig, you know, just my training partners, training with TJ every day, having the same mentality as a champion like him, you know, training with Cubs, Syed, and all these guys it just keeps growing, you know, and it's a never-ending learning process for me. So, you know, I know that's what I bring in, and that's what's going to happen.
The hot dog's complete now, bro, right?
Hell yeah. Yeah, you got any flavor you want. If you want a plain, I can give it to you plain. If you want a ketchup and mustard, I could even sprinkle a little bit of ninja sauce on it, whatever they need.
So. My listeners and your fans are probably going, what the hell are they talking about? To my listeners, I'll just let you know, me and Juan have been doing shows for years now. And, you know, as people got added to his camp, you know, I kind of came up with a stupid euphemism one night, and we called it like a hot dog with relish on it and just added mustard, you know, and now you've got all this. You look at the wisdom and the knowledge of Professor Joe Stevenson. You look at the knowledge of Dwayne Bang Ludwig. You look at the ability of T.J. Dillashaw. You know, how much would you say that they've attributed, not just physically and psychologically, but emotionally into the heart of Juan Archuleta, the warrior?
Shoot, man, they've done everything for me. You know, they're you know, I spend more time with these guys than I do with my actual brothers nowadays, and with my family. You know, I'm always with them. So, you know, we start getting to know what each other thinks without even saying it. You know, that's the connection I have with Joe. You know, he doesn't need to be at every practice anymore because I already know what he would think in these situations. You know, he comes up with a game plan, lets me know. Of course, I still need to see him, obviously, but you know, now that I'm moved, you know, we spent every day together for the last 4 years, and you know, we know what each other thinks, just like Cub, TJ, myself, and now starting to get that chemistry with Dwayne. I know what he thinks, you know, I know what he wants me to start combos, he wants me to start hitting, and you know, even with my nutritionist and training and strength and conditioning coach Sam Calavita, you know, I know now what my weight cut, how he's going to start pulling me down. You know, we know what each other thinks without even talking to each other, you know, and it goes hand in hand, you know, and when you spend that much time with each other, you know, it starts to show, and you start having real success.
Yeah, you truly do. You know, I go back many, many years with Ludwig, and I'll tell you, he's no joke when it comes to training. You know, how hard was it for you to fall into that theory, that thought analogy? Because let's just be plain and blunt and true with it. Dwayne is a hard ass when it comes to training on the mat.
Yeah, actually, I mean, they were actually caught off, him and TJ were caught off guard with the way that I train. You know, they were like, man, Juan, you're a beast, dude. Like, I'm like, well, you know, I don't got time to waste. I want to start winning titles. But, you know, it goes with my philosophy and my dad's philosophy, you know, and that's the type of coaching that I've had around me my whole life, you know, that we don't fuck around, you know, we don't waste each other's time, just to be blunt, you know, it's just like, I don't want to waste Dwayne's time away from his family when he's out here, you know, and so I got to make the most of it. Otherwise, I'm wasting his time and his family's time, and that's not right. And same thing with Joe. When I work with Joe, I need to utilize his time to the most, you know, and it's time that I'm spending away from my family too. So if I'm shortchanging it, then my family doesn't deserve that, or my coaching doesn't deserve that, and hell, I don't deserve it, or the fans don't deserve it, and the organization I apply for sure hell doesn't deserve it, you know, and my manager, you know, just goes down the line. You know, if you're not going to put your all into it, then step out of the way and let real fighters get the paychecks and let us get the jobs that we rightfully deserve, you know?
Yeah, you know, I got to admit, you know, I'm still blown away by your whole fight history, who you are, and the creation of the Spaniard. You know, I love having you on the show because, to me, you're one of the truest forms of a warrior that is out there, that exists. I'll say it like it is. You say be fucking blunt about it. But
yeah,
you're a new age warrior. You're something I haven't seen before. You know, I can't really sit back and say that I've seen anybody with the abilities that you have acquired over the years, and the knowledge that you're now ascertaining is proving time and time again. What kind of statement is Juan Archuleta looking to make against Robbie Peralta at Bellator MMA 201?
Yeah, I want to come out there and put everyone on notice, you know, and, you know, like I said, the main thing is going out there and performing, putting on a performance that no one else can succeed in or can thrive in, you know. Just go out there, put a high volume out there, all the technique I've been working to into this day, and just let it all just fly, you know. And once that happens, just put everyone on notice, you know. I'm coming for everything, you know. I'm coming to wipe the organization clean, you know. And that's just what we thrive to do, you know. We come in, work conquistadors, you know. My family's been doing it for years, you know. We come in, we clean up, we take everything that's there, and we claim it as ours, you know, and that's what I want to do with this organization, and that's what I want to do coming Friday night. I just come in there, own the night, own the show, own my performance, and, you know, take it like a man, whatever the outcome is, but I'm definitely going to own my performance and make sure I conquer anything in front of me.
So it'd be a fair assessment to say that you truly plan on doing in Bellator what you did in King of the Cage then.
Absolutely. You know, that's always on. I didn't do it in the organizations before for nothing. You know, I went out there and set myself apart from every other MMA fighter, and I'm planning on trying to do the same thing here on the next step in Bellator.
Yeah, I'm so stoked. I can't wait. You know, because I know the situation surrounding your first fight in Bellator, and you know, I commend you. You're just a true warrior in that aspect, and a lot of people don't understand what we're talking about, and I really don't give a shit. You know, I really don't, because I know Joplin, and, you know, that's my boy. Chop Shop's my boy. And what you did was second to none. You know, it just really shows, like you said, what your father's instilled in you. What does it mean to you to be able to fight in your own backyard, you know, to have Bellator right there, for you to be able to have all your family, everybody come up, and also fight with several of your teammates on the card?
It's hard, you know, because not everyone got tickets, you know, and it's something that I feel bad for, and I wish I could have got everyone tickets, but you know, they sell out, you know, these shows out here, they sell out fast, you know, and so I am super excited that I'm back home right now, getting ready to train at my own gym on fight week. You know, how much more of a blessing is that? I get to sit and watch TJ and Cub Swanson hit mitts right after I'm done. And so it's a blessing, you know, to stay home, feel like it's just, you know, another week for me, not getting too nervous, having to sit down and think about the fight, being with my family, not being away and missing them. And just, it means the world, you know, get to see my friends all week and get to chop it up with them. And, you know, and most importantly, get to go to church on Wednesday night and, you know, give glory to God and, you know, just keep my same schedule going.
That's why I named you God's Warrior, man. And, you know, when you're in that octagon, you preach. I mean, bro, that's the only way I could describe you. You know, you take them to church, bro. You take them to church. Oh, it's tremendous, because I've watched the rise of the Spaniard. I've been here, God, you know, for the better half of the last 3 years with you. You know, it's a tremendous attribute to me, because I get to see where you're going. And, my friend, you've created greatness in the sport. if you had to make a direct message, and I know you don't do this because you are God's warrior, but I know this fight means a lot to you. So if you had to make a direct message to Robbie Peralta about what he could expect June 29th, what would it be?
Yeah, you know, let's go out there and put on performance. And, you know, I'm coming fierce, you know, and I'm coming to conquer. You know, it's going to be another soldier in the way to keep me from taking over my kingdom, you know. So I'm coming to conquer, you know.
Most definitely. You know, I know you had a long day, so I'm gonna go ahead and we'll wrap this up because I know you've had a long day and you want to get some training in. It is fight week, you know, but I'll get you on that live feed tomorrow because I know you've had a long day being Mr. Pretty Boy in front of the camera and stuff for Bellator.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
But you know what? Ain't nobody can touch Marlo Holt. The more I watch his work, the more I'm enthralled. I mean, truly, you and him have defined the new aspect of the sport. I'm truly honored that you come on the show each and every time. I don't think I would be more, you know, humble to have such a tremendous fighter as you. You're proving what it takes to change the sport and show people what a warrior truly is. And like you said, a conquistador, a gladiator, you know, that's truly what you bring to the octagon. So, as usual, my brother, I'm truly honored that you came on. I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, family, social media sites, any sponsors, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Oh, yeah, I just want to give thanks to you first, Don, and say thanks for having me on the show. You know, your show's always awesome. I love coming on. You know, it makes it easy. It's just a phone call two boys chirping it up on the telephone, you know. So you make it easy. You make everything easy. So I appreciate your time and appreciate what you do for the sport. And you know, I just want to give, you know, my thanks to God for sure. You know, with, you know, he just leads me on such a righteous path and putting all the people in front of me to train with and my teammates. And, you know, it's just true glory to him. And, you know, I want to thank my family, my mom. She does so much for me. You know, she's my number one fan for sure. You know, she goes above and beyond for everything that she does for me. My wife, my kids, my dad, my brothers, you know, my sister, my nieces, my cousins, just my whole fan support. Just thank them so much. And, you know, definitely the supporters that helped me through tough times, all my sponsors, you know, Quality Environmental, Steve Martin. You know, I can't thank that guy enough for what he's done for, you know, the gym and what he continues to do for the gym. You know, we're just beyond blessed to have him by our side and on our team. And, you know, everyone, you know, Boost Mobile, you know, those guys are awesome. I just hung out with them yesterday, Bajan and everyone there. You know, they definitely, you know, make me feel at home. And definitely Bellator, you know, I'm super excited. Paramount Network, don't forget to tune in on Friday night. You know, I'm going to be the first fight on the card. I'm on the TV portion. I'm super excited. Going to light up some fireworks right before 4th of July. So be prepared for the beginning fireworks before 4th of July kicks off. And everyone that works hard there, the social media team, you know, the matchmakers, to everyone that makes it happen, Kogan, Rich Chow, you know, just all those guys that, you know, just make Bellator feel home and make me feel welcomed. I just appreciate all those guys. And, you know, Elite Sports USA, you know, I never feel like I'm ready to fight until I go pick up my fight gear from Elite Sports USA because they customize everything. It's, you know, I feel like I have the baddest gear in the game when I step into the cage, and it's all thanks to them. You know, those guys are awesome. Go give those guys a look on their website and see what they do. And, you know, Mark from Kingston Coffee, those guys are awesome as well. You know, they've truly become brothers of the gym and brothers in arms with us, you know, taking care of us and doing everything they do to make the gym look professional. We appreciate their time, you know, and give their coffee a try. Their coffee will blow you out of this world. Their coffee's awesome. And, you know, thanks for all your fans, Don, for tuning in. You can find me on JArch MMA, on all my social media, my website. Pre-order a shirt so I could get you guys some shirts sent out. You know, select the size, and it comes with a signed autograph photo. You know, so thanks again for everything. Thanks for having me on your show, Don. Thanks for the fans for tuning in and listening. We appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I truly appreciate it, you know. And to you people, go buy those packages because I've been a fan for 3.5 years, and I still haven't got a shirt. So you're going to get an autographed picture from the Spaniard, too. I mean, you can't beat that. So go
buy a shirt. And my wife is on me. She makes sure that I sign them and get them out, and she's the one that gets them out. So the other times
haven't got one, so I'm going to have to call your wife, bro.
Yeah, for sure. You tell her
I'm
going
to have to go buy one in order to get one.
She's the one making me get them done, so you'll for sure be all right.
I got you, bro. You know, I wish you the best of luck on Friday night, even though I don't think you need it. You know, you truly are changing the sport, brother. I wish you the best of luck. Get into training. Thank you for joining my show, and God bless you, brother. I love you, man.
God bless. Take care, man. Love you too, brother.
Peace. See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Juan Spaniard Archuleta. That's my homie. You know, truly recreating what he did in King of the Cage is going to be a tremendous opportunity for this young fighter. I mean, how many fighters can you sit back that are sitting at 18-1 on a 14-fight win streak, 7-time world champion, 4-time division champion? Now it's time to do work in Bellator 201. And, you know, he's got a fight on his hand. I'll give that to Peralta, but I tell you what, Archuleta's the next level. With that being said, you know, I'm going to have to be biased on this one, too. You can hate me if you want to, but I'm going with Archuleta all the way. I have for the last 3.5 years, and I will to the grave probably because I believe in him. You know, tonight's show has been humbling. I've been kind of off kilter tonight. It wasn't one of my best shows, but it's been a long week getting back and forth all over the country, and just this last trip to New York kind of played a lot of havoc on me, but we'll get things in track. You know, I want to thank you from the real Fighter's Voice, not the BJPenn.com Fighter's Voice, but from the real Fighter's Voice. You can go back several years, Google it. You will find my show has been the show for a while now. I don't appreciate that aspect, but I will continue to fight as I've worked too hard to build this show into what it is. And, you know, my show's made a difference because the fighters named it. I didn't have to steal a name. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. I want to thank the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. I want to thank the United Way Merced. I also want to thank Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran, Juan Ramirez, and BiteMeMouthGuards.com with Joe Rice. I got four of the best sponsors in the business. What more can a man ask for when you got truly legends backing you and people that change communities backing you? It's a tremendous feeling. On that note, I'm going to take us out with a little something different this time. You know, I want to go back to the 916 because that's kind of my side of town. I know you guys might not be into this kind of music, but actually, you know what? Let's go to Chicago and we'll take us out with a little bit of Eldorado Jones. On that note, good night and God bless.
Moving through the atmosphere.
All right.
Come with landing here.
Wow.
I'm like shooting stars and chandeliers.